Father, I pray that this rest of this mini-series would do its perfect work in us. We would be ready for what's ahead of us. We would be focused. We'd be committed. We'd be directed by your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the Left Behind series, part deux. Part deux. French for two. Every once in a while, I just got to throw stuff in there. I want to recap, because I don't know if you ever watched television series and you're my age, but I would say, oh yeah, don't skip the recap. Why? Because I think I remember stuff like, oh, who is that guy? Like, I'll drive my daughter crazy. Who is that guy? He's the main guy, Dad. What's he doing? What's he doing? Oh, you should have watched the recap. I'm going to give you a recap of last week, because some of you guys are about as old as me. Not looking around anywhere, just saying. Recap. The highlights. Number one, his word is his message. Say, his word is his message. Now, the twist on Left Behind on point two is sometimes the perspective we need to have that is maybe best seen is from the one who left us behind. Sometimes our perspective is how many would pretend to be woe is me. I've been left behind. Come on. Woe is me. Why'd you leave me here? This is so hard. Mad at Miley? Yeah, you know everything. But the twist is, the one who left us here had a purpose for us. And he had a purpose for us in that place he left us. So the question became, left behind to do what? Right? And then he said this to Titus as he's talking to the church. He said, I want you to set everything in order. They lived in a culture that was completely out of order. They lived in a culture that was completely out of order. Them. Their lives were out of order. They had political parties that were fighting over nonsense, and they had all sorts of confusion about stuff in their lives. And it was just a mess, but that was them, you know. And he said to them, hey, it's time to set things in order. And that's never fun. Have you ever been given a job to set something in order that wasn't in order? Ever come in as the new guy on the job, like you got hired as a supervisor? I know Hannah used to do this. You know, she had to go in and reset order, you know. And that's never fun, because the people who were there that were like, I'm lollygag, I just come in to work about 10:30, but it says on your contract you're supposed to be at 10. Well, you know. A 10:30 sounds good for me, and then I'm really not taking anybody to like 11:15 because I need my 14 cups of coffee. No. You're working for me. You're going to be here at 10. Yeah, you're going to find someplace else to work. People had to tell me that. I'm just being honest this morning. So there's set order. It's not fun. And then it says not only set order, but get everything that's not done, say get her done. Everything that's not done, get her done. Like, I'm going to be here a while. When I thought about that, like, I left you behind. Oh, cool. Like week. Snap to it. Get it all popping in a week. You know, I'll set some order. Boom. So, no. Get everything done. Everything done. Everything. I'm going to be here a while with these people. You have purpose. So the tone we get to hear is, why was I left behind with these people? The Cretans. The Cretans, yeah. They were known as terrible liars. They were known as immoral. Loudmouth windbags, Paul called them. Yeah. Say, why am I here? Why am I here right now? Yeah, why am I here right now? Because his word is his message. And he's setting stuff in order, and he has an expectation, actually, of us. Sometimes we don't respond well of expectation, but God has expectation. He does. We have expectation of him. Our prayer life, like I said, is like a giant slot machine to heaven. Please, please, please do it. Please do it now. Do it now. Another prayer coin. I expect you to do what it says you'll do, right? You ever expect anything from God? I have expectations from God. I still have expectations from God. He's going to perform his word. He said, I expect that. But we don't often, as humans, like that reversed on us. Expectation on me, American. We learned that we receive forgiveness and salvation much like a bondservant serving the Lord, it's like a contractual arrangement with him, a covenant arrangement. You know, we learned what a bondservant is. It means a bond slave by choice, voluntarily choosing that. Born again disciples, we belong to our master and controller now, right? To be completely devoted to another is a bondservant. To disregard one's own interest for the interest of your master. That don't sound like America. So if there's any born-again Christians in the house, if he is your Lord, then this statement is true. That makes him your master. How do you work for your master? I know. Aren't you glad when this series is going to be over, Jazz? She's back there going, Pastor, just roll the bean footage, you know? Keep it going. Left behind. Why am I right here, right now? Let's look at his word, part 2. Titus 2, 9 through 10. We left off. Titus 2, 8. Titus 2, 9 through 10. We got it up there, Jessaroo? Yes. Urge bondservants. Remember all the stuff we just talked about bondservant, man? Urge bondservants. Now, I want you to remember this, too. Applying what we're about to talk about is important to learn to apply to your career and to your life. If you read the Word of God and it never gets applied to anything that we do, so this is stuff that's going to be applicable and it's going to be hard. Because some of you work with Cretans, you know, some of you do. Bondservants seem to say that we should apply for jobs. And I want to tell you that we do apply for jobs all the time. Most people, if you have a job here or a career, this is how it happened. You solicited a company that you wanted to work for. You put your application, they didn't come to your house and say, you're working for Walmart, get out of there. Dragging you out of bed, I am not. I want to go to Starbucks. No, you're working. This is how we do it in America. No, that's not how most of you got your jobs. You went to school or you didn't. You applied after those two things for a job that you wanted to get. That became. That's what we did. Why am I talking about that? Once we get a job, that company now provides for us and gives us a paycheck every day. The reason we went to that job is for it to provide for us. Anybody work with you, I just love it. I wouldn't get paid for it. Anybody right now do something, Pastor D, other than you? Jeez. Does anybody go, I work so hard all day long and I do it every day for nothing? Actually, I'm thinking about paying my boss. This isn't the crowd, Kenny. It's not the crowd. Provision is why most people have jobs. Now, ask this. What if we apply this principle from this word right now to our jobs? So think about where you work. Urge bondservants to be subject to their own masters and everything. You're the one that asked to work for them. It's their company. If it's not immoral or ungodly, then maybe most of us, most of the time, should do what the boss says. If it's not immoral, if it's not ungodly, and it's his company, shouldn't we do it like the boss says? I know that's a big one to swallow. It's a point to ponder. God knows that gets tested with our attitude and character sometimes, doesn't it? It gets tested, right? Urge bondservants to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be pleasing. Some people have to work on their work attitude. Does anybody, don't raise your hand, anybody have a work-tude? Mark, Chauncey, Mr. Chauncey. Work-tude? I've had work-tudes. Denise, you just be quiet back there. I hear nothing from you. I know. She's like, I'll tell about your work, dude. Urge bondservants to be subject to their own masters and everything. Be pleasing and not talk back. I don't know if you can believe this, but I had a hard time when I first hit the job market with that. My perception of poor authority, sometimes I had to ventilate it audibly. You know? Once when I was working at the post office, man, God sent me a couple angels. One of them was Bucky Jeter. Came to my wedding. Bucky Jeter. I love Bucky. He's a legend, you know? And yeah, I loved him. And he came up to me and he called me brother, man. And he said it smooth like Barry White. Brother, man. He put me aside because I was a wreck. And I come in like at that point in time, I hadn't really found Jesus. I was in the middle of finding Jesus. Not in the middle. I was probably like a toe in towards Jesus. The rest of me was way over there. You know what I'm saying? I was toe in towards him. And I come in, possibly have had things I shouldn't have the night before. And I dragged myself into work, you know, and I was a bit surly and stinky, but I was working. And then that boss said, go on, you don't dump the mail like this. You dump it like that. Man, it's on the belt. Doesn't matter how I dump it. It gets there. And another thing, you know, and I'm starting to tell the supervisor all the things that I like about his management style. So Bucky Jeter grabs me, goes, brother, man, you don't always have to fight everybody on everything. You don't always got to fight everybody on everything. Say true. Yeah. Don't talk back. Not stealing things. Not stealing things. Not stealing things, bondservants, regardless of their value. Well, it's just a sticky notepad. It's just a sticky notepad. Well, that's true, but if you don't have permission to take that sticky notepad, it's stealing. I know. We're talking about work. It's like, Pastor, this is a church. This is Paul. Paul said it to the church. Say, I am the church. The church. Brother, man, you don't have to fight everybody about everything. But the proving themselves trustworthy. God has expectations of us on our jobs. Proving themselves trustworthy so that in every respect, so they will adorn. So you may look good, make him look good, and not look bad. They will adorn and do credit. Actions, there'll be stuff that we do. So that in every respect, they will adorn and do credit to the teachings of God, our Savior, say Jesus. When they see me at work, they should see some form of Jesus. Juju, where are you? When they see me at Walmart, they should see some form of Jesus. Had to wear my bracelet twice this week. So good. Helped me so much, baby. Thank you. So adorning Jesus is not this. I think I have a picture. That's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's walking around with your jean jacket, you know, acid wash jean jacket. I'm wearing Jesus to work. You can. That's cool. But if that's the only Jesus they see, and you're like, brother man, fighting everybody and taking sticky notepads and telling supervisors to do it, slacking on your job, and you're the problem, not the answer, and you're not the team player, and you're not pulling the line, and it's everybody else's fault, then, ooh, that ain't Jesus. Ever been that guy? Well, I had been. And I had Bucky Jeter say, brother man, you don't got to fight everybody and everything. So ask Jesus, ask God, why am I at this job right now? I'm sure there's many out you that I won't look eye contact that you hate your jobs. And you're asking Jesus to deliver you from your job. Ask him. Maybe you don't have to be there. Well, I got to be there. Why? Because, you know, that's the job. Why is that the job? Did he tell you? I didn't ask him. Well, ask him. He's your master. He might go, no, but dude, I've been trying to get you out of there for years. Or we might go, yeah, it's terrible. A bunch of Cretans, aren't they? Get back in there. Maybe you're there to expose people to the risen Christ in your life. Maybe the only reason you're there is to expose people to the risen Christ in your life. Not on the jacket, not a new season, not even in the Bible. The only Bible some people are ever going to read is you. And it's time at our workplaces, we adorn them a little more, right? That's what Paul's saying. Why are you here in this place at this job? Ask if you're supposed to be there. You know, that's a good place to start. Sometimes we worked with a bunch of Cretans. You know, I looked up Crete. And I thought, yeah, what a great assignment. Did you look up Crete after last week? Anybody look up Crete? It's beautiful. You're like, that water is so clear. It's like walking to the sky. What a great assignment. It couldn't have been that bad. And I read back then anyways, Crete was full of liars and scoundrels. I'm like, oh, it's pretty though. You know, Titus 2:11 through 12. The remarkable, undeserved grace of God. Anybody experience that? The remarkable, undeserved grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's for everybody, not just the Jews. He said, hey, no, I came everybody. I kind of bring it together. It teaches us to reject ungodliness and reject worldly immoral desires. It teaches us to reject ungodliness and reject worldly moral desires and to live sensible, upright, and godly lives. Lives with a purpose. Living intentionally. To fulfill what God has asked me to do. Not even what I want to do, because Kenny, I have a list of wants. Some of them line up with God, but other ones are, brother, man. You know. To live sensible, upright, and godly lives with a purpose that reflect spiritual maturity in this present age. The world needs your spiritual maturity active right now. The world needs your spiritual maturity right now. I don't know if you noticed. If you have televisions, a radio, a phone, if you don't have any of those, I want to tell you right now, the world's crazy. Like, oh man, don't tell me that at church. I avoid it. No, it's crazy. It's a problem. And it seems to be getting worse every day. You know, come Lord Jesus, come. And it's great sometimes to see the future. It really is. Sometimes I'm blessed. Like I do see things. And I go, Lord, that would be great. But then it's sometimes so far away. And like yeah, I'm coming back. And you're like, oh, I see it. You're coming back. But then you see the timeline. You go, but that's a lot of crap between here and there. There's a lot of valleys, a lot of pitfalls. A lot of getting smacked in the head. Lord, what do they need when that happens? They need you to reflect spiritual maturity. Why? Because it's a problem. Spiritual maturity is a lack in the church. Lies that reflect spiritual maturity in this present age say, I am the church now. Titus 2:13-15. Here's a good one. Awaiting and confidently. Say confidently. Confidence. Anyone need help there? Dude, I need help there in so many areas. It's hard to walk down. My wife is so beautiful. It's like, man, I just like, you know, the world just stops when she walks. You could go to Scottsdale where there's no traffic stops. Like, there she is. That's Dr. Heidi. I saw her TikTok. Who's that gorilla? That's her husband. Dang. Dang. Expecting the fulfillment of our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who willingly gave himself to be crucified. Crucified on our behalf. Why? Because we all have sinned, fallen short. Right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Crucified on our behalf to redeem us. Say, redeem us. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Thank you, Jesus. To redeem us and to purchase our freedom from all wickedness. And purify for himself a chosen and very special people. People to be his own possession. Who are enthusiastic for doing what is good. Who are enthusiastic for doing what is good. The person I see that emulates that the most, I see a lot of people that do that in my household. But I say, we need a poster person for an enthusiastic doing what is good. Do you have anybody? Yes, Jasmine Davis. Jasmine Davis is a poster girl for enthusiasm for doing what is good. She's enthusiastic about silly things. And doing it for Jesus. Like, you don't have to do all that. Yeah, I do. Why, I'm doing it for Jesus. And she'd just show up at your house and drop stuff off. Like a little, you know, godly pixie. You know, I don't know. A godly pixie, you know. who are enthusiastic for doing good. Tell them these things. I did. Say, Pastor, we've heard it. We've heard how to work on our jobs. We've heard how God needs to be first. We've heard about how what needs to be order in our life. We've heard it. Encourage and rebuke. Encourage and rebuke with full authority. Say, that's a lot of authority. That's a lot of authority. With full authority, you're God. Like, you should take that. Like, I know people that trip over that verse. Like, yeah, when I become pastor, I will have full authority. Pom, 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 pom. I've seen it. Ever been in that situation? It's not good. Come on, brother, man. Come on. Encourage and rebuke with full authority, though it's real. You have to have an authority. There has to be a buck stop somewhere. Let no one disregard or despise you. Conduct yourself and your teaching as to command respect. This isn't always a popular conversation, and it's hard to find balance in this next one sometimes. For me, like this is for me too, I have an issue. Titus 3:1. This one's tough. Like, Pastor, it's been tough up to this point. What are you saying? Titus 3:1. Remind people to be subject to rulers and authorities. If it's not ungodly, and it's not immoral, or causing your loved ones harm, then try to obey the rules of your elected leaders. That's why voting's so important. If it's not ungodly, and it's not immoral, and it doesn't harm your family or the gospel, sometimes we just, yeah, I'm doing it, but I'm chirping about it. I'm trying to help us. Why? Because we're supposed to adorn something that attracts the world. They don't need us fighting with them. They don't need us compromising and not getting watered down what God said and who Christians really are and how their lives are supposed to live. We're supposed to live it out front, live it, be it, move it, have our being, adorn it. And whenever there's conflict and it doesn't attack our morality, our sense of godliness, or care for our families, then we probably should walk in line with a good attitude to go, I'm going to do my best Jesus here. I'm going to Walmart. I'm going to Walmart. Got to do my best Jesus, Juju. Remind people to be subject to their authorities. To be obedient. Who loves the word obedient after you've not? Only parents like the word obedient. If you're a parent, you're like, go, obey me in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your mother, father and mother. It comes with a blessing. Right? When you're a parent, how many times you use the word obey when you're raising your kids? Like 1,000,006 before there are five? To be obedient and to be ready. Ready and willing to do good. Ready and willing to do good. Be prepared to do good and then be willing to do good. To slander or abuse no one. That can be hard. Come on. How many memes have you seen on your Facebook about people that are running against people that you're not voting for? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It's hard. It's not to go, yeah, man, I got something I could add to that comment. To be honest, it'd be really funny. I'll send it to Mark. To slander, abuse no one, to be kind and conciliatory, to be repentant and sorry when you screw up. Don't be pointing the finger, oh, I did that because Andrew made me mad. Andrew made me eat that extra brownie because I know he wanted it, so I was good there. I wouldn't have had those four brownies, one for Andrew and Kenny, brownie eaters, you know. Pastor Sean, self-control, that was in last week's message. Andrew. To be kind and conciliatory and gentle, showing unqualified consideration and courtesy towards everyone. Don't be the, I'll read it again. Gentle, showing unqualified consideration and courtesy towards everyone. Think it's important to show courtesy to everyone? Side note, don't be the guy or girl that heard it this way. I hope someone's kind and courteous to me today. That's one of the problems with being in the church. We get in receive mode. I hope someone's kind to me today. A great example of original kindness, an OG in kindness, Jeff. He'll kind you up before you get there. He'll throw kindness at you. He and Jasmine together, pixies in the area. You know, just they'll do it. We have to be the one that practices that. We have to be the one that practices that. I am the church. For we too were once foolish. I never see that on anybody's refrigerator. I see all these scriptures. I never see, we too were once foolish. Never do I see that. It'd be a great diet deterrent for me. We too were once foolish. Okay, it's midnight. I don't need that brownie, Andrew. For we too were once foolish. Don't be offended. It keeps you foolish. I won't repeat it, though, because it's just too hard. For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various sinful desires and pleasures. A slave is forced servitude. We gave into it, and it forced us into slavery. Anybody ever been there? Get delivered from some kind of addiction of some kind? Right, that was slavery. Slavery. Right. Spending and wasting our life. Wasting our life in malice and envy. Hateful and hating one another. Wasting our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Left side, look at the right side. You got them and you're looking them over there. Whatever side you think you are, just look over there. Say this, we cannot waste our life anymore. We can't waste our life anymore. We don't even know how long we have left. This past 2 months, I think I lost two or three friends that are my age. What are we waiting for? More life? It's here now. And we're here now on purpose. And we live in a society of Cretans. And some of us used to be one. Mm-hmm. Titus 3, 4 through 7. But when the goodness and kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared in human form as the man Jesus Christ. I love that. You know, do I have time to pull? I will. I'm just going to do this. It's not enough. One of my favorite characters in the Old Testament is Abraham. Why I love Abraham? Because he was the friend of God. And God showed up in human form at his tent to have dinner and hang out. And then when God was going to wipe out a whole city because they were just a bunch of Cretans and they refused to repent, and God said, no, I'm wiping them out. They had their shot. He said, I got to go back and tell my friend. God said, I got to go tell my friend. And I started thinking about this. There's no sketch artist back then. There was no YouTube. There was no phone capturing a picture of the moment. I wonder if he looked the same when he came back as Jesus. Because if he did, it'd be like Abraham, like, look, if you see this guy show up, it's God. If you've seen this man, if he shows up on the chosen, there he is. I saw him before. You know, I don't know. He appeared. All the Godhead said appeared in human form as the man, Jesus Christ. Aren't we grateful? Yeah, so grateful. He saved us, it says. He saved us not because of any of our works of righteousness that we've done, but because of his own compassion and mercy. Thank you. By the cleansing of the new birth, spiritual transformation, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Lacking the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, because it's been so weirdly applied in the body of Christ. It doesn't mean his Spirit isn't for today and doesn't want to invade you and connect with you. And I think even today, there are people he wants to connect with. Right now, right here. Yeah. Not the weird, spooky Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. The absolute Spirit of God. Upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior, that we should be justified, made free, free of guilt of sin. Isn't that wonderful? I can walk in my hometown now. I can apologize to a lot of people, and I do. Quite a bit. But I don't feel shame about it anymore. Jesus set me free. He didn't just forgive me, he set me free. And there's a big difference, right? And that he would be acknowledged and accepted to him, made heirs with eternal life, actually experiencing, according to the hope, his guarantee. God gives a guarantee on something. It's hard for us because we've all been hurt so many times by people who promised us something and didn't follow through. Even brothers and sisters in Christ, spouses, children, pastors. We've been let down. His guarantee is his guarantee. Titus 3, 8 through 9. This is a faithful and trustworthy saying. And concerning these things, I want to speak with great confidence, so that those who have believed, why? So that those who have believed, who have trusted, relied, and accepted Jesus, will be careful to participate in doing. So if we are believers, and we say that, then we have to participate in doing. If there's not a believer who's not participating in doing, I challenge that they're not really a believer. If they're not following the master, is he really their Lord? I was master of me for a long time. Yesterday. Father, what do you want me to do? That those who have trusted and relied and accepted Jesus as Savior will be careful to participate in doing good and honorable things. These things are excellent. I did not put up a slide of Bill and Ted. I refused, resisted. Win for me. These things are excellent and profitable for the people. Okay, for the people. But avoid foolish and ill-informed and stupid controversies. Avoid foolish and ill-informed and stupid controversies. Avoid foolish and ill-informed and stupid controversies. Stop fighting and debating over non-essential stuff at this time. Say, come on, man. And I used to get sucked in. I just walk away. If I think it's a stupid controversy, you just see me do this. I'm out. I just dip. I ain't wasting my life with stupid controversies anymore. Avoid stupid controversies and genealogies and dissensions and quarrels about the law. For they, the quarrels and stupid controversies, are unprofitable and useless. Say no more wasting time. No more wasting time. Titus 3:10 through 11. At first and second warning, reject a divisive man. Give someone a break. You fell down a couple times, right? First or second warning, then you got to reject a divisive man who promotes heresy and causes dissension. Ban him from your fellowship and have nothing more to do with him. Well aware that such a person is twisted and is sinning and is convicted and self-condemned. Can you pray for unity over the church again? Not new season, but the church. Yes, new season, but the church. Because there's a lot of that in the church. There is. And people don't realize how divisive they can be. They don't realize how divisive they can be. And when it says reject and have nothing to do with, and I can remember being the person, honestly, that people should have nothing to do with. There are many smart moms that said, you can't date him. There are many friends that were like, no, you can't go to his house. Why? His parents are in Boca Raton and spring break. You can't spend the night there. Wise, reject me. That was wise. I was the problem. I was the problem. In many of my friendships, I was the problem. But when I became a Christian, shouldn't that be different? And sometimes it's good to reach out to people having a problem. They need Jesus. They need to be directed. But remember, we're not called to steep our tea bag in the toilet water. We have to come out and be separate from some things sometimes. Because why? It'll cause divisiveness and damage to the body of Christ. I used to be that guy. I'm sure at times I've been that guy. It is my greatest desire in the world to never be that guy again. There is too much. The world's trying to pull us apart anyways. The enemies of our soul is trying to pull us apart. We don't need to pull each other apart. We don't need it. Well aware that such a person is twisted and sinning, is convicted of self-condemned. By these verses, it appears that God both has forgiveness, but he also promotes healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries. That's what that is. It's a healthy boundary. Don't, like, that person's, they're ruining you. Like, you, every time you work with them, you get in trouble at work. You're always messing around. They set you up again. You're in trouble before you know it. You're where you weren't supposed to be. And you're, what happened? Like, you got to set a boundary. What? You can't be with that. You can't do that no more. Why? Because it keeps ruining you. God was saying set a healthy boundary. I have a picture of a healthy boundary. It's a border crossing in Canada. It's a healthy boundary. Boundaries are supposed to filter out what comes in. Boundaries are supposed to filter out what comes in. And it's supposed to keep out known troubles. Isn't that what a boundary is supposed to do? How many want to raise their hand and say, I have a trouble keeping boundaries in my life? I work too much. I talk too much. I drink too much Diet Coke. I'm too social when I should be working. I'm not social enough. Come on, you guys don't need boundaries. Man, God made boundaries. But we're terrible at keeping them in place sometimes, aren't we? Terrible. Left behind. Can't wait for this series to be over. Wrap it up, Pastor. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up with some shout-outs. You ready? Paul wraps up with shout-outs. I love shout-outs. Right, Andrew? I love him. Okay. He's like, Pastor, you shout me out way too much. You know? I love it because every person can have a personal relationship with God. And I want to make a space for that in a minute. Titus 3:12-15 says this. When I send Artemis, or perhaps Titius, to you, two guys he can trust, remember, to do a job. Apparently, they've proven themselves. It is such an honor sometimes when I can make a phone call and somebody's from behalf of church say, yeah, you're going to hire this guy. Why? He's going to work hard for you and he's going to do a good job. And he's probably going to honor and charge himself, so make sure you tip him good. I'm going to send Mark to the job. Oh, Nick? Yeah, I can send Nick. I can't be there, but Nick will do a good job. And if he doesn't, Jasmine will get him. You know, so. Make every effort. So that's a lot of effort. Make every effort. Like, try your hardest. Do your best. We're saying, hey, give me 100% right here on this next statement. Okay. Make every effort to come to me in Decapolis. All right, that looks like a cool place. For I've decided to spend the winter there. Like, Paul, are you on sabbatical writing some scripture? What are you doing? He says, do your best. Say, do your best. Make every effort. Do your best to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. Man, the lawyer needs help. He's making bank. Every lawyer I know don't need any help. They need prayer. Please do your best. Do we give beyond our tithe? I don't talk about money here, but it was hit me the other day. I was at a place getting a coffee, and they put their little tablet out there, and I just got a coffee. And I always tip. It's guilt, and I like to be a blessing. But I can't. If you throw me a tablet, I'm like, okay. I can't push it back. I'll go, no, I can't do this right now. I'm strapped. But it used to be your tip was like 10%, 12%, 15%. This tablet, inflation, started off at 15, 18, 21, and 25. I said, oh, don't hit the wrong button there, bro. You tip more than your coffee. I think it made me go, a tithe is less than society's asking for a tip. I'll just freeze there and move on. Together we are the church. ACs get taken care of. It's we are the church. Lights are on. We are the church. Rank is paid. We are the church. Someone's in crisis, we can help them out. We are the church, right? See that they are supplied and lack nothing. That'd be nice. If You ever been on a mission trip and lack things? Yeah. Whoo, that'd be nice. Lack nothing. Our people must learn to do good deeds, to meet necessary demands. That's why it was so good. We can pay for the AC. It was kind of sad because Dr. Heady had decoration plans and outreaches and, you know, stuff that would take all of us a lot of work to make it nicer in here. Which part of me is like, oh, I'm glad that got canceled. We working all day. Chris, I know I'm in trouble for that one. But thank God that we all came together and prayed and put some money aside above your tithes, and we have AC. We didn't go without a beat. The youth sweated a little bit. The kids had some moist Sundays. Yeah, they were pretty, yeah, they're down a pound a couple weeks ago. They're sweating, you know. Check your kids' electrolytes when they leave the church, you know. Good deeds to meet necessary demands, which whatever the occasion may require, whatever the occasion may require, so that they will not be unproductive. Real faith in Jesus produces stuff. All who are with me greet you. Hit a travel team. Greet those who love us in faith, and grace be with all of you. Now I have a picture I want to put up. There she is. There's our girl. I tried to oversupply her when she left. Pastor Sharon knows I tried to get her things, and she said, I don't need it. And now, thank God, they have one. When I see her, I'm going to give her trouble about it. At least until the Lord tells me I can't. But we have to send her out well. I don't want her over there lacking not a thing. Yeah. But it's our season here. She left us in Crete with a bunch of Cretans. So my prayer is this today. I hope to play a couple songs, and this is my purpose. Not to emotionally manipulate you or to get you to stay a little longer and say, wow, I stayed at church a little longer. It's for this. Some folks have never accepted Jesus in their life and never been forgiven for their sins, and they carry that guilt around every day. And they're ashamed of things that people don't know about them. And God says, today you can give that to me, and I will completely wipe that from the face of the earth. I will knock that from the east to the west. I will forgive you, love you, set you free, and put you in a family. That's available today if that's you. But maybe you've done that, and the season for you is, this is my heart check season. My heart hasn't been good. My motivation has been terrible. I haven't followed through what I'm supposed to do. And my heart, if I have to be honest, is a little icky. And I want God to fix that today. Maybe you're in the category of you need to renew a commitment that you made to somebody or something. And you know that. Maybe it's the season that you're tired of not producing. And you want to be prepared to produce. Why has he left you here? Would you like to know the answer to that? Here's my plan. 10 minutes of music. And usually churches, and I believe the laying out of hands. I believe you lay hands on people. But today, don't get anything from anybody. Take this opportunity to see if God will. See if he will speak to you. He'll speak to you directly today. No one whispering in your ear, pastor not in a sermon, no counseling, no elbow from a spouse, no shout down, no fortune cookie, no. Today, set yourself in a moment to go, God, I'm here. Speak to me about whatever you want to speak to me about. Because I'm ready. So I'm going to close us in prayer and start to give you those songs. Start those songs. And if anybody's left in the room when I get my time with God, I'll go give you a hug at the doorway. But Father, I pray this morning, all seriousness, that every heart that desires to hear directly from you every heart that desires to hear directly from you, like Abraham. You pull over to their tents. They stake their tents down during these songs. And I pray you be their father today. In Jesus' name.